Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast, a Thanksgiving edition. We're taping this on Wednesday because Kyle and I will be hanging out with the fam on Turkey Day. Kyle, happy Thanksgiving, man.
Yeah, you too. It's flown by. Feels like it was just the Central Michigan game, and now we're at Thanksgiving and into the holidays. So
I know. I don't know what we're going to do once football's over. Do we have to talk OSU basketball?
I don't know. Do we transition this into like a Thunder podcast? What do we do here?
I can call Slater. I got Slater on line one. We can call him and Royce.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
But do you have your hot take cannon handy? The playoff rankings are out, and four Big Ten teams make the top 10, and Oklahoma jumps from 7 to 3. Do you have your hot take cannon fired up and ready?
The cannon is loaded. It's loaded. I've got my powder, my match. Let's do this. The rankings were not that bad. I mean, the Big Ten thing, I'll let you riff on that because that's absurd. Oklahoma State at 11 that's okay. You know, I don't know. I don't like Stanford being ahead of them, just because I think Stanford is just overrated by this committee for obvious reasons. But the thing that I had the biggest issue with, and I think this is a kind of a systemic problem with the committee, is that they took OU and moved them from seventh to third, based on beating TCU's third string quarterback by one in Norman. Now, let's start with this premise. I think OU is probably one of the four or five best teams in the country. I really do. But the way they got them to third was Jeff Long said this. He said, well, OU really controlled that game until Baker Mayfield and P. Ryan went out in the second half, and then they just sort of hung on. But they really dominated the game. And sort of insinuated that they would have just throttled TCU if Mayfield had stayed in, which maybe they would have, but that's not the reality. It's like the committee just tries to take what would have happened and rewrite it and say, well, because this would have happened, OU's the best team or the third best team or whatever. And I hate that. I think it's, I don't know. If you extend that out to you know, beyond just the OU-TCU game to like, well, this team had the best recruiting class. I mean, they've done that with Ohio State all year, and I think it's stupid. I really do. I hate that part of the committee.
That OU brand means a lot, Kyle. I mean, that logo, oh, they got fired up when they saw that logo. But what galls me, too, and you touched on it, OSU beats TCU at the height of their power.
Yeah.
With a healthy Boykin, a healthy Dotson for a half.
Yeah.
Just throttle them. And that win didn't mean a whole lot. They didn't even really move OSU up a lot. OU beats TCU without on their third string quarterback, without Dotson, by 1 point. I know they lost Baker Mayfield, but I mean, just it doesn't, the criteria just does not apply to both the same for who, based on what teams they want in the playoff, what teams they don't. Now, do I think OU is one of the best four teams? Absolutely. But what were we told? You know, the thing that's become clear to me is that losses seemingly don't matter nearly as much as wins, because OU has throttled pretty much everyone they've played when they've had Baker Mayfield. And that win against Baylor, that's another thing. The win against Baylor, who the committee has been reluctant to give credit to Baylor. Now all of a sudden, Baylor's getting a ton of credit.
Yeah.
Too, even though they're on their third-string quarterback.
They should.
Like, yeah. The Big 12 actually is getting credit now, it seems, in hindsight, because OU all of a sudden jumps from 7 to 3 when after they were unimpressive against TCU. But it all comes back to juggernaut theory, brand theory, whatever you want to call it, because the thing that's amazing is Oklahoma State could win the Big 12 and will probably be left out.
Yeah.
But if OU wins it, they're in.
Or Baylor.
Or Baylor wins it, they're probably in too, even if they don't get all the help they need.
It is
weird. That tells you all you need to know about it, really.
Yeah, it is odd. You know, I did see, and people get on me on Twitter like, you're just jealous or you're just mad or whatever. Like, I wrote today that I think OU is one of the four or five best teams in the country. And the best argument I've seen for OU is somebody said, what about 2011 Oklahoma State? They lost to Iowa State. This OU team lost to Texas. Similar losses. doesn't mean that that team is any less dominant or is any less good. And that argument actually makes sense to me. I sort of troll on Twitter with the OU lost to Texas thing, but I don't know. Everybody has a flaw, right? Everybody's got some kind of warts, and I can actually sort of live with the fact that OU lost to Texas as long as they're dominating these other teams. The part that I don't like is the committee saying, it's about how you look, and then they try to rewrite how OU looked against TCU. Like, losing your quarterback is part of playing games. I don't think that the committee should say this should base things on how you look. I think it should be on wins and losses. I don't think it should be on margin of victory or anything like that. I think it should be, did you win the games? Like, I don't see why it's anything beyond that. But if the committee is going to do that and say it's based on how you look and then make these caveats for teams that lose quarterbacks, that's stupid, because losing quarterbacks is part of the game. And I just don't think it's right to base it on what would have happened instead of what actually did happen.
Right. And they're also, you know, with the wins and losses thing, they put Iowa above Michigan State, which I'm old fashioned. If you're unbeaten, put them in front of all the one loss teams. I don't care, even if it's Iowa. But you look at Michigan State. Michigan State probably has the best wins. They beat Oregon. They beat Ohio State. They beat Michigan. Yeah. They have way more impressive wins than Iowa does. But for some reason, that doesn't apply to the Big Ten teams. I don't understand that either.
It's there's a lot, and this is inevitable, right? Like, if you're taking 128 teams who don't play similar schedules and are just flung across the country playing different teams, this is going to happen. Like, there's no, in some ways, I don't fault the committee because there's no uniformity to it. Like, it's just a free for all, and you're trying to have humans with inherent biases figure all this stuff out. It's really difficult. It really is. And you know, like I said before, it's great for business. It's good for me, but I think for the integrity of college football, it has to be, did you win your conference and what happens on the field? And if you win your conference, you should get in the playoff or however you want to do it. It should be determined on the field and not based on how you look.
Right. And I for one, was happy to see OU in the top four because the Big 12 needed that. They need some respect, and they're getting it there. But I don't know why Baylor's not higher, why Oklahoma State certainly is not higher. How do you put Michigan in front of Oklahoma State?
Or Stanford.
Have you seen, or Stanford for that matter, or Ohio State for that matter? What has Ohio State done to deserve to be in there?
Well, they put up 132 yards on Saturday. Total.
Have you seen Michigan's schedule, by the way? they lost to Big Bad Utah, which the committee tried to tell us all year Utah was good. They're not. They have 3-3 losses. They lost to Utah. They beat, they beat Minnesota by 3 on the road. They went to overtime with Indiana on the road, 1-7. I mean, they are okay. They have 2 losses, and they're ahead of Oklahoma State. The Big Ten, and I don't know if you've heard, and this goes back to the Big Ten, Barry Alvarez, Tom Osborne thing. You don't live in Oklahoma, so you probably haven't heard. Have you heard the things Pat Jones has said, just on Twitter or anything?
Pat Jones?
Pat Jones, former OSU coach.
No, I haven't.
Well, he and Tom Osborne and Barry Alvarez are from the same mindset. They're from the same old school, you know, power, football, tackle, play defense, you know, that whole thing. He said Navy would win the Big 12.
Oh, my gosh.
He said Navy would win the Big 12, with a straight face. And that kind of shows you just the mentality that people have towards the type of football that the Big 12 plays. To say that Navy would win the Big 12 is just laughable.
The only sport Navy would win the Big 12 in is lacrosse.
Are they good at lacrosse?
I presume they are. East Coast.
I'm sure they got a great water polo team, too.
Yeah.
But Pat Jones would probably rank Iowa, Michigan State, Ohio State, Stanford, Michigan, all in front of Oklahoma State. He would.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem with this committee is they don't like the style of play of the Big 12, which, yes, they put OU third, so maybe they're warming up to them. I don't know. But just the fact that they have 4 Big Ten teams in the top 10 insults my intelligence. They don't. If you tell me 4 teams from the Big Ten are in the top 10, Look up the Big Ten schedule the last 5 years against every other conference. They have a losing record against the Big 12, the SEC, the Pac-12. The only Power 5 conference they have a winning record against is the ACC. That's where they belong. They're right there with the ACC in my mind as far as good teams.
Well, yeah. And you know, it's interesting because I wrote on Monday about, you know, what is Oklahoma State's path to the playoff? Is this still alive? And, you know, the two biggest obstacles I thought at the time were just beating OU. First of all, you got to do that. And then having TCU beat Baylor. Because I think Baylor's just flat out better than TCU. And maybe even so with their third string guy who it just announced, or they just announced was starting.
Well, I think people are writing off TCU a little too easily in that game. If Trayvon Boykin plays in Fort Worth, they could win that game. They could absolutely win that game.
Yeah, but my point is I should have waited until the playoff rankings come out because now, I mean, there's almost no way Oklahoma State can get in because you got to pass either Ohio State or Michigan who play each other, and I just don't think you're going to. And then you got the Stanford or Notre Dame. They play each other. They're both ahead of Oklahoma State. It's impossible. And I think that's dumb. Like I don't. Let's say Oklahoma State goes out, beats OU, and TCU beats Baylor, so Oklahoma State wins the Big 12, and Ohio State beats Michigan, 11-1 Oklahoma State, 11-1 Ohio State. Oklahoma State should be ranked ahead of Ohio State. I'm sorry, and maybe they will be.
No chance.
But I don't think they will, and they should be. Like there's no.
There's no metric to support Ohio
State. There's nothing you can throw at that says Ohio State is better than Oklahoma State other than Barry Alvarez and Tom Osborne saying, well, we think they look better. Well, okay, they put up 132 yards last weekend.
Right, and back to the 2011 thing, do you think with the committee the way it is now, OSU would have gotten in over Alabama? Because I don't. And I think the criteria to them has even changed, whereas back then in 2011, say you had the committee in 2011, OSU had beaten way more winning teams with over 500 records, which is the stat they like to throw out. I think OSU beat like 7 or 8 ranked teams. Alabama beat 3. I still think Oklahoma State doesn't get in, even though they have the overwhelming resume over Alabama in 2011, just because it's Alabama. Like well, they're gonna get the nod.
They get in because it's 4 teams, but you're saying if it was just 2?
If it was, just the argument is Bama versus Oklahoma State with their resumes side by side, I still think they give the nod to Alabama because, as we're seeing with Ohio State, it's all about brand names, man. It's about the helmets.
Yeah. No,
that's what we're seeing.
I agree with you, and I think the other argument that people don't talk about is the when you lose doesn't matter. Like the committee keeps saying when you lose doesn't matter. Well,
it absolutely matters.
It does, because on your website you say you're trying to pick the 4 best teams, and by definition none of these human beings exist outside of time. They were within time, and so because whoever lost most recently, you naturally, just because of the way time works, which is in a linear fashion, you naturally have to say, well, that's probably not the best team right now, because you're only talking about it right now. Like you're only judging it right now. And because when teams lose late, I just feel like it bends the committee against them. I really do. And especially in a situation like that, where, like you said, you're pitting an Alabama, which lost earlier in the season to a better team, against Oklahoma State, which lost later in the season to a worse team. I don't think there's any way the committee would put Oklahoma State in over Alabama.
No, and I get the argument against Oklahoma State this season in that they didn't exactly, you know, win impressively. They didn't exactly roll through their schedule, which I can understand that argument. I really can. And Baylor put a whooping on them. I can understand that too. But to put a 2-loss Michigan, who has scraped by some terrible Big Ten teams, ahead of them is a joke. It's a joke.
You know what's going to be interesting is, and this is. I hope this happens just for the.
Yeah. What's your doomsday scenario?
Well, I want this to happen just for the sake of just seeing how it would all work itself out. But I want North Carolina to beat Clemson in the ACC title game.
Oh yeah, that's my number one. I would love to see that.
I like Clemson. I wouldn't mind seeing them win at all. But if that happened, what would the committee do?
Well, we know who we talked about the slots or whatever. I think Well, what happens if Clemson loses and Alabama loses? Yeah. Because I always thought whoever wins the SEC is getting in. But not if Alabama loses. I'm sorry. Are they going to put Florida in there? I don't see that.
Maybe they would have to, though,
wouldn't they? Florida would be what? Well, if Florida loses to Florida State, then it's moot. They're not getting in no matter what. But let's say they beat Florida State and they beat Alabama. They would be 11-1. They'd be 12-1.
Yeah, they'd be 12-1.
I think the SEC champ is getting in.
But what if? I mean, I think Florida's losing to Florida State. So let's say Florida State beats Florida, and then Florida turns around and beats Bama in the SEC title game. Does the SEC get shut out?
I think they have to. You can't put a two-loss Florida in there. The way they scrape by Vanderbilt and Florida Atlantic, you can't do it.
That would be insane.
That's what I've been rooting for since we went to the 14 playoffs. The only way we're going to get an 18 playoffs is if the SEC gets left out.
I did predict before the season that I think my four playoff teams were Oklahoma State, Ohio State, Michigan State, and UCLA.
Good job on the UCLA pick.
I thought, okay, well, you know.
No, I think I had Auburn winning it all, so who am I? But no, back to your original scenario. So, okay, Clemson's out, Bama and the SEC's out. Well, Notre Dame probably gets in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then the Big Ten champs in.
Notre Dame or Stanford.
Then the Big 12 champs in.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it'll work out.
I still think Ohio State might just slip through the back door somehow.
I think so?
I really do. What? They're eighth, I think? Is that what they are?
Yep.
I mean, it's not...
My boy Harbaugh is going to put a whooping on your boy Urban Meyer this weekend, so you don't have to worry about that.
Well, I hope he... I mean, Michigan could slip through the back door.
Yeah, they absolutely could. I think whoever wins comes out... Like, the Big Ten will take care of itself, much like the Big 12 will.
Well, maybe, but consider... Because you're going down two different paths there. You're going down the Michigan State-Iowa path, and then you're going down the Ohio State-Michigan path. And it's like...
Have you watched this committee? Whoever wins the Big Ten's getting in.
Well, yeah, I agree. But what about the Ohio State-Michigan deal? Because neither of those teams are going to be in the Big Ten championship. And so if you have... suddenly, you have Ohio State beating a top 10 team as the number... What are they this week? Eight? I don't remember. I think they're eighth. They beat a top 10 team. They're going to move up a little bit. Teams ahead of them lose. And then all of a sudden, you're going to have Iowa with the 2 seed and Ohio State with the 4 seed and everybody wondering what happened.
Yeah, if we get two Big Ten teams, I might not watch.
I mean, you really could have that.
They couldn't do that and leave out the Big 12, could they?
Yeah, they could because that would happen if Oklahoma State was the Big 12 champ. They will put an Ohio State team that's 11-1 that just beat Michigan in ahead of Big 12 champion Oklahoma State. They just will.
I choose to live in a world where that doesn't happen.
No, it will, but it will happen. Yes, it will.
Well, they say conference championships matter.
Yeah.
And that's written everywhere they want to print stuff about the playoff committee. That would they could not put a second Big 10 team over a Big 12 champion. I don't until that happens, I refuse to believe it. Even though Barry Alvarez and Tom Osborne will be pushing for it.
We'd have to have somebody come and like ice you down before the podcast because you might just spontaneously combust.
I might just let you shoot me in the face with your hot take cannon. Put me out of my misery. just end it right there.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be interesting. It's fun. I don't know.
How are you feeling about Bedlam?
Not great.
Good, not great. Or
yeah,
not good, even
good. No, not even good. Average to bad. I don't know. Nolan, our buddy Nolan, said this a couple weeks ago after the Iowa State game. He's like, you know, the season's been a lot of fun. There's a sense that it's a little bit of a house of cards, and I wrote that after the Baylor game. I don't know. I keep going back and forth. I think Oklahoma State's a good team, and maybe a really good team. That's a tough game to win. OU's on fire right now, and you know it does depend on Mayfield though. If he doesn't play, of course Trevor Knight, knowing the way this works against Oklahoma State in terms of OU backup quarterbacks, Trevor Knight will probably turn into Sugar Bowl Trevor Knight, and throw for 450 and five touchdowns. But
yeah, didn't Blake Bell throw like a touchdown pass to himself at one point, like in Bedlam? That's what it felt like, right?
I think so. I did see a stat. This was Mark Cooper, Tulsa World, had in the last seven Bedlam games, there's been a punt return or a kick return for a touchdown in six of them. That's crazy.
That's nuts. And the Big 12 title has been decided since 2010, right? At least one team's had a say in the Big 12 title since 2010.
Well,
that's crazy.
The only year that it wasn't was Kansas State's year, so 2012.
But hey, OU's got a trophy sitting in their case. They split it that year. They did a trophy presentation. I took some heat on Twitter for saying that.
Oh, that's right.
They got co-championships that year.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they, for some reason, the idiotic, this is how stupid the Big 12 is. They didn't have a head-to-head tiebreaker. Like, everyone plays everyone. You don't even need to, like, address it. Like, that's done, right? But apparently they didn't have that written anywhere.
Yeah,
so,
because...
you tried out a trophy.
I forgot about that because they... and they hung a banner.
Oh, they have eight Big 12 championships now.
I even wrote about this yesterday, and I didn't remember that. Is it true that every year since 2010...
At least one team. I read
that. No, 2002, last year.
Oh, okay. Maybe except for last year.
Yeah, last year.
So, 2010 through 2013.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the stat.
Yeah. And then again this year. So, yeah.
OU's really good, man. And it's funny to me how just when you think Bob Stoops is kind of coming on his last legs at OU, the walls are closing in. Bam, he's 10-1. Has a chance to go to the Final Four. He's incredible. And he's now the longest tenured coach. When OU hired Bob Stoops, did you ever dream he'd be there 17 years?
No.
It's crazy.
And for him and Gundy to both be in, I think, in the top eight or nine of longest tenured coaches, it's cool. You know, it's a cool deal. And it's fun for Bedlam that it's, you know, OU fans don't want to admit this or say this, but it's a real thing now. It's a real rivalry, and
it's the best rivalry in the Big 12. Like, not even close, really. Over the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Since Gundy and Stoops got there and got it rolling, it's been the best in the Big 12.
Yeah, it's been great, and you know, they've split the last 4-2-2, and
have they? It doesn't feel that way, does it?
No. No, not at all.
Doesn't feel that way at all. I still have a hard time remembering they won last year or how they won it. Like, that still to me doesn't seem that real.
It really is. Like, I almost remember more what happened in, like, it feels like 2013 happened last year. Like,
right.
the Gilbert non-interception and the cheerleader tripping.
Striker.
Yeah.
The empty turkey leg
by
on the field.
By the way, I was thinking about that. Was that, you might remember this better than me, was that, I think it was a fumble recovery touchdown. Was that for the, was that to cover?
That was a miracle cover.
Was that a cover?
Well, I think OSU had to be favored in that game. But yeah, OU was an underdog. So I think it hit the over. I think that's what it was. It covered the over bet.
Okay.
If you bet the over, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Because OU was an underdog in that game.
Yeah, because it was like 8 degrees that
year. I got in my car at, you know, we did a pregame show at 11 a.m. You know, it was 11 a.m. game, so our 10 a.m. show. I get my car at about...
Yeah, 11 a.m. game. Big 12 title on the line. 11 a.m. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know, right? Big 12, good job. I get in my car. It says zero on the thermometer, like in the car. We drive. It still gets to like 5 on the way there. And I'm like, this is going to suck. And it was a terrible, like, that was the coldest I've ever been. And I thought the week before that, Baylor, I would never be that cold again in my life.
Yeah.
But it got worse. And it's supposed to be brutal this weekend. And we're doing a show again, an hour-long show, because it's on ABC. So.
Yeah, freezing rain, sleet. I'm going. Have I told you that?
No.
I'll be
How
there.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. You can hang out.
My first game since, it's been a while. Well, I went to Florida State, Oklahoma State last year. But my first game in Stillwater in a while.
Are you going to post up anywhere to where the loyal followers of Pistols Firing can come take a picture with you, say hi?
Well, 2011, I sat top row for the Big 12 title, and just I kind of like observing everything, taking notes. You know, it's hard being there. Like, I know that sounds stupid, but for what I do for writing, and you know, I can't look stuff up. The self-service in there is bad. I can't send out my hot take tweets, but But no, it should be fun. Yeah, we'll all I'll hit you up beforehand. I'm gonna try to meet up with Jake Trotter also. I think he's gonna be on y'all's show or
premiere
or something.
We're have him on our show as a guest for sure.
Yeah, so I might come by there and say hey to everybody.
Okay.
But yeah, we've got a couple guests that we're about to call.
We're calling our dads. See how they're feeling about Bedlam.
Yeah, they're both lifelong Oklahoma State fans.
Yep. My dad used to take me to the Rust-Oleum when Pat Jones was the coach, which I'm going to ask him about. Some of my earliest memories were him complaining about Pat Jones's play calling. So we'll get into some of that.
So nothing's changed for Oklahoma State fans.
Oh, no, he's a bit of a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
I had to warn him we were calling because I had him on my old podcast to talk about Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Oh, he watches Game of Thrones?
Oh, I got him into it, and he's obsessed.
Okay.
And he was like a deer in headlights for like the first 15 minutes of our conversation. I don't think he was ready, so I had to warn him.
Yeah, and I had to warn my dad, too, because I think they think it's like not just a phone conversation. They have to like do a song and dance or something.
They think they're just like on live radio or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, we're dialing him right now.
All right, his name's Mike.
Okay. You know they're gonna both predict that OU is gonna win, right?
Oh, for about like 30, probably.
Yeah.
Hello.
Mike?
Yes.
Hey, this is Kyle Porter.
Hey Dad, what's going on?
Just sitting here watching old SportsCenter. What's that?
Are you dissecting the playoff rankings on SportsCenter? What are you watching?
I was watching Dan Patrick, but now I'm just watching SportsCenter because there's nothing else on.
Kyle loves Dan Patrick. I don't watch it.
Dan Patrick's great.
Yeah, he's the man. He's great.
Well, Dad, how are you feeling about Bedlam? We're calling our dads on Bedlam. What are your thoughts, concerns? How are you feeling?
Well, I never feel very good about Bedlam. You have to understand, I first became an OSU fan in the 70s, and we didn't win very many games in the 70s and 80s, even into the early 90s, so I don't have a lot of great Bedlam feelings. I think OU's got a better team than we do. I think since it's in Stillwater, we have a chance, but I don't expect us to win on Saturday.
Yeah, one of my earliest Bedlam memories from you is you always talk about that play where OU, I guess, did an onside kick and it hit one of OSU's dudes in the face, and then they kicked a field goal. What was that scenario?
Yes.
I don't remember. It was before my time.
I don't remember the year, but it was in the early 80s, I believe, and we were up 20-3 in the fourth quarter, 9 or 10 minutes to go. Matter of fact, that was Sterling Shepard's dad started the OU comeback, if I recall.
Oh, wow.
Derek Shepard scored a touchdown. I think Spencer Tillman scored a touchdown. Some big names from OU's past. They went for two after their second touchdown and made it 20-18, and then they kicked an onside kick off of Chris Ronken's helmet and scored. And recovered, and then they went down, and Tim Lasher kicks like a 40-something-yard field goal, and we lose 21-20. Probably the more crushing OU loss that I was part of, that I watched.
That was actually the only game, the only Bedlam game between 1977 and 1988 in which Oklahoma State scored 20 or more points, so it was 1983, October 15th, 1983.
83. That sounds about right.
Yeah,
I was born about a year later. So.
The 88 game was pretty crushing.
Yeah, that was the Brent Parker game, wasn't it?
Well, yes, it was, but that I tend to call that the Garrett Lindbergh game.
Why is that?
Garrett Lindbergh was our fullback that blocked for Barry Sanders, and he's the guy that got flagged for 15 yards for trash talking on a third and one when we didn't make it. We would have had fourth and one, and instead we had fourth and 16, and that necessitated the pass to Brent Parker in the end zone.
That's right. I remember you bringing that up all the time. You're the only one that brings that up.
Yeah. I don't know that I even knew that.
Yeah, they wouldn't even have to throw a pass. It would have been fourth and one with Barry Sanders.
We have third and one at about inside the 20. We're behind by three. We run a sweep. They run us out of bounds. We don't make it. And Limbrick's over there running his mouth, gets a flag, which, you know, the referee should never call a flag in that situation, but he did. And, you know, he was running his mouth. I mean, you watch the replays. He was just pushed, you know, it's Bedlam. They were trash-talking the whole game, both sides. But instead of fourth and one with Barry Sanders, we have fourth and 16 from, like, the 35 or 30-something. And that's when we throw the pass. Brent Parker drops it. You know, I forgive Brent Parker. I don't forgive Garrett Limbrick.
I think Brent Parker calls it the Garrett Limbrick game. He's saying that right now somewhere.
We need to get Garrett Limbrick on a podcast.
He's the forgotten man, well, you know?
As far as I'm concerned, he cost us that game.
So you said you don't have a lot of great memories, which is understandable because Oklahoma State won one game between 1967 and 1995.
I was at that game too.
In 1976?
It's the only game I've ever watched OSU beat OU in person.
Wow.
It's also the only Bedlam game I've ever attended in Norman.
I didn't know you went to this game. What do you remember about it?
Well, my boss where I worked, I was just a year out of college. And my boss where I worked was an OU fan. He had six season tickets. He'd had them for years. He always invited a friend or two to go to the games with him. He invited my wife and I to go to the Bedlam game in 76. And that's when Charlie Weatherby and Terry Miller were playing, and we beat them. It's the only time I've ever seen an OSU Bedlam win in person.
Wow. And OU was number five that year.
I don't remember that. I just know... I mean, I bought season tickets from when I graduated in 75 through probably 94, 95. And that's the only time we ever won.
Do you remember why we... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Do you remember why we stopped going? Do you remember the conversation I had with you? I remember my earliest memories was going to the old Rust-Oleum and... You used to complain about Pat Jones running off tackle left, off tackle right. And I think the last year we went was when OSU wore like the all black uniforms, and they may have like gone winless that year. And I think I remember telling you like that. We can still go to like the basketball games. Those are fun, but I'm not real fired up to go to the football games anymore.
Well, I do remember that, but really the reason I gave them up is because you started playing big time soccer and you were playing soccer somewhere almost every Saturday, and I had these great tickets. I mean, we sat on the 50-yard line on the north side. I mean, you couldn't get any better tickets, but we were never using them.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, we were also buying basketball tickets then, so I just gave up the football tickets and started going to watch basketball.
Good. I don't feel as guilty now that I made you give up the football tickets. But you went to the Rust-Oleum for years, but you also – you had not been to Boone Pickens until that 2013 freezing cold Baylor game. What was it like for you to go to see the stadium that you took me to as a kid that was just a piece of junk to what it is now?
Well, I mean, that stadium's awesome. Other than the fact that the seating accommodations aren't the best in that you're crammed in there like sardines. Of course, on that night, that was kind of good because it was like 10 degrees. But, I mean, you know, I'm a fairly big guy to sit in the stadium there at Boone Pickens, unless you're up in a suite, is a little bit uncomfortable. But the stadium's awesome. I mean, it's perfect for LSU. I mean, it's not 100,000 seats, but, you know, we couldn't put 100,000 people in there if we had them. It's just the right size. It's a great stadium. It's a great atmosphere. I definitely enjoyed that game.
Do you think that Pat Jones was a better play caller than Mike Yurcich is?
No. I like Pat Jones. Don't get me wrong. But I will say this. Pat Jones had better players at times.
If Pat did recruit so, Barry Sanders and Mike Gundy,
I could have called plays in '87 and '88. That wasn't too difficult. Let Barry run it, and then when they weren't expecting it, let Gundy throw it.
To Hartley Dykes.
All right. Well,
I don't have any complaints. I don't have any complaints about Yersey.
You don't?
He's okay.
He must have won you over recently, I think.
Well, I think Gundy has more control about what he calls than what he lets on. And I mean, I'm as disappointed as anybody when we run off tackle on first down for 16 straight series. But I think that's more Gundy than it is Jersey.
All right, one uniform take, and then we'll get your pick on the game. But Dad, you hate. What's that?
You know what I think about the uniform.
I know. Kyle, my dad hates that they don't have the brand on the helmet. He doesn't like Pistol Pete on the helmet.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm in that camp as well.
You have the floor.
I don't care what color your pants are or your uniform. I don't even care what color your helmet is. But I want to see a little bit of consistency in something, and it's got to be the brand on the helmet.
He's anti-Pete.
I'm in. I like that. Do you like the throwback brand logo?
I can live with that, but I'd still rather see just the regular brand.
Yeah.
He texted me during the Kansas game and said he hated it. he grew up with the brand. He grew up with the brand.
I just want to see the brand. Well, let's be consistent about just one thing.
Yeah, hey, I'm with you. I don't like Pete either, especially Weird Pete with the crazy eye.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the colors. I don't mind the face mask being silver or gold or whatever. It just gets a little bizarre.
Well, Dad, what's your pick on the game? We'll get you out on that.
You want to score?
Yeah, score. General thought?
34-17.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I'm assuming you're picking OU.
Yeah, unfortunately. I don't think we can run the ball. I think OU is going to do to us the same thing that Baylor did. I don't think we can stop the run. I think it's going to look a lot like the Baylor game. And, the Baylor game really wasn't a 10-point game. That was about a 17-point game, and that's kind of where I think this one's going to go. Now, if it's a blizzard and snowing, that will be different, but I can't predict the weather.
All right, Dad. Thanks for coming on. We'll call you during basketball season and get your takes on Travis Ford.
Before I go, Kyle?
Yes. Sir, yes.
I love you guys' podcasts. I really enjoy listening to them, so I hope you guys keep doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We've had a lot of fun doing it. It's been great.
I listen to every one of them.
Well, that's great. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Dad.
You bet.
All right, we'll talk to you later. That was fun.
Yeah, that was very, very complimentary. I appreciate that.
It's nice. I told you you'd pick OU by like 17 or 20 points.
Yeah, my dad might pick him by like 40.
It was funny to hear. I did not know that he was at the 76 game or whatever the heck game that they won in Norman. I'd never heard that in my life.
I like how he just slid that you started playing big time soccer in there.
He doesn't lie, man. I played some. I was on a club team. I was all state in high school. Soccer was my life as a kid, and we traveled all over the country. So he was not making that up, trying to pump me up.
That was great. I like that. I also love it. It's so funny to hear people who went to school in the 70s or even 80s talk about the uniform stuff. it's great. Like, their takes are just so
wide ranging.
Yeah, and just like their takes are so straightforward, and it's awesome.
I don't care what color your pants are. Yeah. So they had a gold face mask at one point.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We're going to call your old man?
Yep, let's do it.
What's your dad's name?
Todd.
Todd, okay.
He's been at the dentist, so hopefully his mouth is numb and he sounds weird. He's
not drugged up.
He's pulling an OKC Dave on us. And Stiff arm.
He's tired of you.
Hello?
Dad?
Yeah.
How we doing?
All right.
Hello, Mr. Porter. This is Carson.
Hey, Carson. How you doing?
Oh, doing good. Just doing a little podcast, talking some bedlam.
Are you running right now?
No, I was just outside.
Oh. You working on your working on your short game?
No, I was working on the house next door.
Oh, okay. Well, how are you feeling? First of all, you went to the Baylor game. What was it like? It was cold. We got stomped. Was it as excruciating as it looked on TV?
Even though they punched us in the mouth right off the bat, we came right back, and when we tied it, and it was cold, by the way. So, you know, when it got 14-14, I'm thinking, well, this game's, you know, we got a decent chance here. And then when their second team quarterback went out, I'm going, well, this is even a better chance. And then this guy comes in and throws on the money every pass. Yeah. I think his first pass was incomplete, and we might have knocked it out of the receiver's hands, but it was perfect. I mean, like a 50-yard throw.
Yeah.
And, then you start going, well, gosh, what? I mean, where's Bader getting all these guys?
Carson called him Cam Newton Jr.
Yeah. Yeah, well, how you 6'5", 235, and he can run it. I mean, why is this guy not playing somewhere where he starts? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. But
anyway. Well, are you going to Bedlam, or are you staying home for Bedlam?
Right now, the plan is to go to Bedlam.
What's going to change that?
Well, I mean, if it's so bad that, I don't know. Probably nothing.
Yeah, you're gonna be there. Come on. So do you think Oklahoma State has a chance? How does Oklahoma State go out and win this game?
Well, I always think we have a chance. I think we match up better with OU than Baylor. By the way.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you don't have five trying to guard five receivers that run a 4.2. I mean, it's and you don't have a nose guard that should be in the NFL right now to block. So I think we match up better. I think it's a matter of turnovers. I think it's going to come down to turnovers.
I
just don't see them running up and down the field on us like Baylor did.
What do you think about Baker Mayfield? Are you a fan or not?
Well, I mean, I don't like him, but he's pretty darn good. I mean, he can scramble, and he certainly got out of some things that makes him kind of remind you of Johnny Goofball. But, I think he runs it too much. I mean, he's going to get, like last game, he's going to get hurt doing what he does.
Yeah.
OSU didn't have very many positive Bedlam moments when you were raising Kyle, but just what are some of your earliest Bedlam memories that you enjoyed, or what comes to mind when you think of Bedlam?
Well, my first one was 1976. I was a senior at OSU, and actually me and a buddy of mine went down to Norman for Bedlam, and it sat in the south end zone. And the most vivid thing I remember is the third play of the game. Terry Miller breaks around the end and is running at us 80 yards untouched. And we went on to win 31-28, I believe, in that game. And then I don't think we won another Bedlam until about 10 years later.
20.
20 years?
1995.
Oh, well.
My dad was at the same game.
Should have won a couple in there.
Was that the
mid-80s, we had some decent chances. We went down there. They were number two in the country. We were number three in one poll and vice versa in the other. And I think it was 86 or 7. And that game came down. I mean, it was a good game. I think they ended up beating us right at the end by maybe a touchdown. But that was a good game.
Was the 76 game the only game you went to in Norman, the only Bedlam game, or have you been to others?
I went to a couple others, but it got to the point where, you know, it just wasn't worth it. I mean, I had to put up with that down there. And, you know, you're usually leaving at halftime because the score is 35-0 or something. And so I just got tired of hearing it.
It's interesting because whenever I was growing up, we used to go to, or I remember going to baseball and basketball in Stillwater more than I remember going to football. Did we go a lot of football stuff when I was a kid, when we were in Tulsa?
Yeah, well, Barry Sanders Heisman year, I think we made every home game. And it's usually me and you. And, of course, that was the infamous Brent Parker drop or miss or whatever. That would be probably my second most vivid Bedlam memory was that game in 88.
Do you remember who got the penalty on fourth or on
third
the
down.
Play third down the play before to make it fourth and 16?
Yeah, Garrett Lambert.
We just talked to Carson's dad about that. He calls it the Garrett Wimbrick game instead of the Brent Parker game.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I watched that game the other night on a replay, and you know, even the announcers. Lee Corso was doing the color for that game, incidentally.
Oh wow!
And even the announcers were a little perplexed on that call because, you know, Garrett Lambert was out of bounds and kind of got pulled, and then he shoved back, and then they throw the penalty. But he kind of got pulled out of bounds by, you know, an OU player. I mean, goes from, you know, fourth and one to fourth and 16. That was not good. Not good. In the other game, I think it was 92, the Ice Bowl? No. 86 was the Ice Bowl, right? Thurman Thomas.
It was in Stillwater, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it had to be 86.
Well, they played in Norman, in 86. 85 was.
Well, 88 was in Stillwater.
Mm-hmm. They played in Norman 2 years in a row, 86 and 87, for some reason.
85 was the Ice Bowl.
Oh, 85, okay. Because yep. Thurman Tom Berry wasn't there yet. Thurman was there. And me and Mr. Parrish went to that game, and it was miserable. And that's what I'm afraid this Saturday might be like. I mean, it could be.
Yeah, it could be. It's supposed to sleet and freezing rain, and yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a lot of fun. I wanted to ask you real quick about your just one or two thoughts on the college football playoff system ranking, like the committee and all that. Like, do you like it? Do you think it's better than the BCS?
No.
Well, there's one thought. Do you have a second thought?
Well, the reason, I mean, And actually, I don't know, Carson may have heard this, but on the Gundy show, Monday night, his radio show at Chick-fil-A, he brought up the point. He goes, well, I guess I got this thing, you know, at least going to four teams back because of 2011. And he's now, he says, I'm trying to get this thing to go to eight games or eight teams in the playoff. And he goes, and here's the reason, and I agree wholeheartedly with this. I mean, you got four slots, and you got five so-called power conferences. So, I mean, somebody's going to be griping every year about, you know, one of those conferences not getting a team in. So why is that? Why have we got four slots and five power conferences? It doesn't make any sense. Because, you know, whether it's the SEC or Big 12 or Big 10, whatever, if you have a two-loss team that's in a really tough conference where you got a lot of teams ranked, theoretically, under the current scenario, a two-loss team may not make it.
Yeah.
Why not take each conference champion, put them in there? I mean, you know, and everybody's got a dog in the fight and have three wild cards.
Yeah, and then you got Notre Dame out there too, who's not even in a conference. He'll probably try and get in.
Right.
And then,
I mean, you got, you know, BYU and Notre Dame and, yeah, Navy. Well, I guess Navy's in a conference now, but and he said he would even go as far as to put one of the, what do they call it, the New Year's Day six, you know, for the Houstons and Temples and Memphises of the world, give them a shot. Just to make it interesting, kind of like, you know, March Madness, you know, get an underdog in there and don't match him up with the number one seed right out of the chute, but, you know, do it on a regional basis instead of a seeding basis.
I think we're solving the college football playoffs right now. I did want to ask you one thing, because you and we'll get you out of here on this and a prediction, but you, like Carson and I, are a big fan of kind of the Mike Gundy evolution, the smugness, the saying, the, you know, the quotes, the Gundyisms, all this different stuff. What has it been like to watch the transformation? Because you've watched the whole thing. You were a fan in the 80s before Carson and I are old enough to remember. You watched him play. You saw him as this cocky 19 and 20-year-old, and then as a cocky offensive coordinator. What has that transformation been like to watch, and how much fun has it been?
Well, I mean, it's sort of like watching you or one of your brother or sister grow up. I mean, you see how they mature and the decisions they make, the things they say. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, you know, finally he's kind of getting to the point where he gets everything, you know. It's you know, notwithstanding that Fremont spell last year, but I don't know. I say this about a lot of schools, and you know, Iowa State's a good example. How's anybody ever going to get somebody at Iowa State that's going to be better than Rhodes and keep them? I mean, it's one thing getting somebody to be your coach, but then keeping them there. I mean, you see it at Tulsa and Houston and Rice or whatever. You know, these guys, it's a stepping stone. But, you know, I don't know how we could have anybody better running the program right now. And I think he is a genuine person. I don't see Gundy ever being accused of cheating or, I mean, and maybe, you know, God forbid it would happen, but maybe it would happen someday. But I just think he got about the best guy you could have running the program. You know, he still has a few quirks here and there, but don't we all?
Life advice. I love it. Okay, prediction for Saturday. What do you think is going to happen?
Man, with the weather, I think it's gonna. I think there's gonna be a lot of running on OU side anyway. I'm gonna say 31-30, OSU.
Oh boy!
Oh, nice. Picking the Cowboys.
It could be for the Big 12 title.
Well, I hope it is.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it will be for OU. It could be for Oklahoma State as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming on, Dad. And we are heading up, and we will see you tomorrow. I got your golf clubs, so I'm bringing them up. I'm bringing both of y'all golf clubs. I'm just
bring
Santa's
them all.
Coming. All right. Yeah, Santa's coming early.
All right. Sweet.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. Well, thank you for having me, as your brother would say.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
I never thought I'd hear you compared to Mike Gundy, Kyle, but that has just happened.
I don't know that. And he said my brothers. I've got one brother, and I've also got a sister.
If there's one you don't know about.
Yeah, maybe so. Who knows?
How cool was it they were at the same game in, like, 76?
That was pretty cool. I was hoping that my dad would say that was the only game in Norman he went to, because I thought I remembered him saying that as I was growing up, but it must have been about basketball or something like that. That was pretty neat. I like that.
What if our dads would have met at that 1976 game? It's like Back to the Future type stuff. We might have been friends longer than we have been.
Yeah, they could have started a podcast in the 80s.
Yeah. It would have been only about Garrett Limbrick getting a flag.
That was great that they both remember some fullback.
From 88.
He probably had like 7 carries for his career.
And yeah.
They were all against Tulsa.
that was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. We need to do that again for basketball. I think both of our dads probably have, if not more, than at least better memories from basketball growing up. So,
I looked up Garrett Limbrick's reference page just now.
Yeah?
He had 3 career touchdowns.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 3 career carries.
No, he had, he didn't have much, but he had 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, there you go.
But Brent Parker, you're off the hook. Garrett Limbrick. It's the Garrett Limbrick game from now on.
All right, Carson. I will see you, if not Saturday, then at some point this weekend. And hopefully we won't get frozen to the seats like people did back in 1985.
No kidding. Looking forward to it. Shameless plug here. I'll be on Channel 5 at 6 o'clock, hour-long pregame show. We'll have Trotter on. I'll pick the game officially there. So everybody needs to tune in.
Yeah, I guess I got to pick the game right now.
Who do you got?
I'll say Oklahoma State wins.
Wow. As hopeful or as what you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. It almost feels like better that Oklahoma State lost to Baylor. And so, because I think if you saw an 11-0 OSU team this weekend, I mean, Gundy would throw on his Donald Trump shirt, hat, and pants.
Yeah.
And just Rennie Childs would get like 28 carries, you know.
It would be 2013 all over again, that same game plan.
Yeah, but I sort of feel like there's a little sense of, hey, we're 11th. We don't really have that much to lose. You know, Yurcich has said that they're going to see both quarterbacks on the field at the same time, stuff like that. So I'm in on it. And OU, I mean, we talked about this. OU, there's a lot at stake. I mean, they're number 3. They know it. They're going to be talking about that. And I think that somebody said this, I can't remember who, but Oklahoma State's good as the underdog. They're good hunting. They're not as good as a front runner. That's a difficult position for them. So
I agree. It feels like a kitchen sink game for OSU.
Yeah, for sure. Walsh, I mean, the general's not going out on a loss, is he?
I don't know. Are they going to do a senior day for him, or are they going to hold off because he might get a 6-year?
I don't know. He might, if he scores, he might just run over to the ROTC guys and start doing push-ups after every score.
Same with Ogba. Ogba might have a senior day too. I'll get you out on this too. I'm in that OU group text, right?
Yeah.
And they're so confident right now. This is kind of the mindset that OU has being third.
Yeah.
Quote from my buddy Dan Roten, who's been dying to get on the podcast as an OU fan. We want Bama. I'm already looking past the Aggies.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Direct
I
quote.
I like that.
We want Bama, looking past the Aggies. That's how the OU fans are feeling.
They should say they want Iowa.
Yeah, no kidding. I'd rather have Iowa than Bama.
All right, Carson. Good times. Happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you this weekend.
I'll see you in Stilly. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
All right. Bye.